Welcome back to The Lead, a podcast about content marketing by Copyblogger Media. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Well, we're here. It's the final episode in our 11-part series on the essential ingredients of a blog post. If this is your first time listening, go to copyblogger.com/ingredients to see the infographic this series is based on and to find out what the other 10 ingredients are. Then, I suggest you start going through the podcast archive and learn more about each ingredient, one 15-minute episode at a time. We definitely saved the most interesting, perhaps even confusing, or you might say misunderstood, ingredient for last, and that is be authentic. It's easy to say, but it's not always so easy to do. Hopefully, the conversation Damien and I had about authenticity, which you're about to hear, will help you incorporate more of this essential element into your blog posts. Do people really want the real you? Well, that depends. When the real you is offering optimism, entertainment, or a solution to a problem, yes, people want that you. But if the real you is off-putting or angry or uninformative, well, that you may be authentic, but it's not likely to be desired. The reality is that there's no definitive answer, except that the extremes are unlikely to work for any sustained amount of time. As an online content creator, you cannot infuse your work with every emotional whim of your being, as authentic as that would be, but you also can't be a robot, devoid of all the vestiges of the roller coaster that is life, a roller coaster that is universal. What you have to do is be the real you, insofar as the real you helps other people tell the story they want to tell about themselves. You're creating content for other people. So, quote, keeping it real means keeping your audience number one and figuring out what authentic parts of yourself will help them, compel them, and perhaps even sell them. Damien, I say that authenticity online, at least authenticity that works, stands at the intersection of who you are and what you stand for and what problems that helps to solve for your audience. What say you?
Yeah, so Jared, this is by far the most nebulous of the 11 that we've covered so far. I mean, because the rest, if you think about it, the preceding 10 really sort of, you know, kind of rested in empirical effort, right? Things that we observed, can do, subheads, headlines, we could test them, we could see them. So talking about being yourself is really quite a different experience in getting to that. And I find this is probably a subject that's kind of dear to my heart because, I have a tendency to, you know, say things like, you know, we want you to be authentic, right? We want you to be yourself, but, you know, don't do that unless you're a loser. And I get in trouble with that, of course, and people call me out of that about being judgmental. But as you've pointed out, though, there are clearly people who are being themselves and are being losers. And another movie that I've actually seen, Jared, is...
There are many.
Right, exactly. But Napoleon Dynamite, right? And here's a guy who's clearly a loser, and he's positioned as a loser. But, you know, you fall in love with him, and who doesn't love Napoleon Dynamite? Or who doesn't love Uncle Rico or Kip or Pedro, you know? And so in that sense, you know, those people have proved me wrong. But back to your point, this idea of being authentic, if you're a jerk, then, yeah, you clearly need to not be yourself anymore.
And yeah. So I guess the question then is, you know, if we have this kind of definition of what it means to be authentic in a way that works, then how do you do that? How do you convey that then in a blog post?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, like I said, this is one of those a thing that just it takes time, it takes experience, it takes experimenting with just, you know, figuring out who you are from the business standpoint, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to basically carve out, you know, your very own personal USP or you know, unique selling proposition. And Rosser Reeves, who was one of the Mad Men. He wrote a book called Reality in Advertising, and that book is really just an extended commentary, 150 three page commentary on the USP. But his point is that a USP, a good USP, is unique, it's meaningful, and does it sell? And so this idea is when it comes to you and what you're trying to do, be authentic. Then you need to come across in a way that's unique, that's meaningful, and does it sell. For example, you know, when I started working for myself, I was trying to figure out, what is this I want to do? How do I want to become, you know, this person who stands out? Because copywriting, there's a lot of competition. And so I had to kind of define myself, and I was looking at things like, how can I do that? And I saw a lot of people really wanted to be David Ogilvy, and a lot of people really wanted to be, you know, Jacob Nielsen, who's a web usability SEO guy. And I thought, you know, and I kind of did this all along in my career, was just trying to balance both of those, trying to become the best at both of those worlds, because I knew I was going to pour a lot of my time into writing online. So I needed to learn as much as I possibly could about persuasive writing, but at the same time, learn as much as I could about things like usability and SEO and readability. And so I merged those two together and eventually kind of came up with this idea of, you know, being the bastard child of David Ogilvy and Jacob Nielsen. And that's really kind of resonated when I, you know, people ask me, you know, for a USP or a tagline or high pitch concept, that's what I usually tell them.
Okay. So let me ask you a question, because I think that brings up an interesting point. Now, did you try to merge those two areas because that came from within you, like that's what you wanted to be, or because you had an audience picked out over here that you wanted to serve and you realized that's who you authentically needed to be to serve that audience? You get the kind of the distinction I'm making?
Right. I think it was more, what I was trying to become, in essence. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, I wanted to become the best copywriter, persuasive copywriter I could become. And so, but I also wanted to become, you know, really smart about usability. A lot of that's just, you know, a natural born curiosity of wanting to learn. But also at the same time, yeah, I wanted to be valuable. I wanted to bring something to the table that other people weren't bringing to the table. So in essence, yeah, that was for the audience, but it was more about like how I wanted to better myself. And then, you know, naturally just kind of say, but then I just pictured it. Okay. So what are people looking for and what can I provide that people aren't getting out there at that moment? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. So we've talked about kind of some of these big picture ideas about authenticity, and look, it's a big topic and we could spend a whole lot of time talking about it. But let's try and get into some more practical ways. So what are some more practical ways where people can actually, some even techniques possibly, that people can put into their writing to display their authenticity?
Yeah, so there's quite a few things you can do. And something I want to mention, like, you know, when you're thinking about who you are, say you're not, a lot of people are just, they don't, like, you know, that's probably the major kickback. I don't know who I am. Well, then you need to figure out who you want to be and then aim for who that person. For example, here's a technique, you know, a lot of people say, what do you want people to say about you when you die? Right. And so whatever that is, that's how you need to live your life then. Right. But then outside of that, what it really means to be authentic, you know, sort of the practical ways, it's sort of things like just relax, right? Enjoy yourself, be who you, you know, what is it that you're comfortable writing about? You know, write like you talk, be courageous. Don't use jargon. Definitely don't try to sound smart. Don't go out of your way to try to impress people. There's nothing authentic with that. And, people will sniff that stuff out, you know, and also, you know, practice what you're doing. You want to experiment about ways of like, you know, going to, cause you know, that's the thing. It's just like people say, well, I don't know what I want. A lot of times people will ask questions like, you know, I kind of like web development, but I also like writing. And they say, well, you look at my writing and tell me if I'm any good at it. And I'll be like, I'm not even gonna look at your writing, because here's the deal. Could you write no matter what? Do you have the sense that you need to write? Because if that's your feeling, then it doesn't matter if what you write is crap or not, because you're going to push through that. But if you kind of feel like this is something I could probably do, then choose web development instead. You know, you want to drive yourself into that sort of arena where you're comfortable, where you feel like not like a fish out of water. And a lot of people have to get there just by experimenting.
Okay, right. So let me ask you this. As you were kind of going through some of those, I started to have a little crisis of my own. So like when we do these episodes, right, I'll script that opening that we do. Mm-hmm. Is that inauthentic, you think? I mean, it's not necessarily relaxed. It's not always me writing like I talk. I try and do it to make sure that opening is clean and crisp and, you know, so that I say exactly what I want to say. But is it at all inauthentic, you think?
No, not at all. I think it's being who you are in that sense of like, this is how you feel comfortable. There are some people who don't, you know, and these are the people, you know, that I admire, but I know I won't be like, and I don't try to be like, you know, that they will look at an opening, they'll have an idea of what they say, and they just talk and it comes out. It sounds like it's scripted, but it's clearly not. And, you know, either perhaps it's rehearsed in some, you know, capacity, But it's not. So if that's what you're, I mean, that's the thing. If that's what you're comfortable with, like if you like roller skating, but you can only roller skate with the little, you know, cart in front of you, do that. You know, it's, if you like to roller skate, just do that. Don't worry about like, you know, quote unquote crutches you have to use to get it done. It's okay. Eventually you may get to a point though, you know, where you don't have to do that and you just have an outline. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask this, how can finding mentors, having mentors assist or kind of help us develop authenticity?
You know, like I said, this was a nebulous topic and just thinking through my own experience. And one of the things too, that we talk about being yourself that we cannot not talk about when we're talking about, you know, authenticity is like finding your own voice. When I mean that, you know, it's just like, it's Jared Morse when he writes. It's like people know that. I mean, people tell us all the time, right? When they get copy blogger headlines, like, oh, that's a Damien or that's a Brian or that's a Sonia. That's your voice. And that takes time to find. But one of the ways that I found that it's good to help you find that, if you don't know where that is to get a mentor, somebody that can hold you accountable, you know, even if it's just a friend, a coworker, somebody that you work with that you can just say, hey, help me out. You know, when what is it that people like about me? What is it that people, you know, it's that objective set of eyes that looks into your life and says, hey, that's great. Another thing, too, is like a critique group. Critique groups are really great in a sense, if you can find a good one, right, with people who are supportive, but people who are also not afraid to give you constructive criticism, because those, you need those people, too, to say, listen, when you do that, it just doesn't sound authentic. It sounds like, you know, sounds strained, whatever. Stop doing that. But, you know, you can also just find out, you can actually just find a mentor, like someone you look up to. And there are so many programs that you could actually pay that people actually do this. But I'd recommend people just try to find somebody and email them and just say, hey, you know, could I chat with you for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, maybe two or three times a year or something like that. There's, you know, there's a few guys in the industry that I set aside time with to do just that, to help them think through things and say, hey, you know, they'll rewrite their landing page and they'll give it to me. And I'd say, you know, right off the bat, this is wrong. You got to think about this when you do it. Help guide them, because they've got questions that I had back when I was starting off. And so I just want to give back in that sense. But, and you know, of course, talking about finding mentors, like I can't really say this without I'm talking about Ryan Hanley, who's got a great podcast called was it Content Warfare. Yeah. But he interviewed me, and it really just dawned on me after that interview is what he was doing really. And he's not, it's not why he does it. But what if you look back at all that he has interviewed, he's getting mentors for free. You know, he's talking to some influential people and he's giving something in exchange. Here, I'll give you time in front of my audience if you talk to me. And he asks them questions about things that he wants to learn about. And that way, you know, he's kind of finding a free mentor in that sense.
Yeah. Well, as our time is running out here, Damon, think of a final thought. You know, I think for me, when it comes to authenticity, you know, and I'm going to link in the show notes to a couple of posts that Brian Clark has written about this, because I think they're very compelling posts. And, you know, I keep coming back to the point he makes that, you know, when it comes to authenticity, a lot of times that makes us think about ourselves, us, right? When instead we need to be focusing on them, the people we're trying to reach and influence. And as Brian says, your story absolutely matters, but only to the extent that it helps people tell the story they want to tell about themselves. Again, kind of harkening back to what I said at the beginning. So I think that's the most important part about authenticity is just, you know, how we think about it, our perception of it is it's not necessarily us. It's what's part of us we're going to show people that will help people. I think that's a really important aspect to keep in mind when we talk about authenticity. Any final thoughts for you, Damien, before we wrap
up? Well, yeah, so I'll just piggyback up on that and just say that really that comes down to then, you know, trying stuff, experimenting, practicing. When I say practice, you know, lawyers practice law, doctors practice medicine, but we know the professionals. And so as a writer, we're always practicing being writers, but that stuff and see what works, you know. There's a great book out there called Talent is Overrated. And it is in the line with, you know, Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers with this idea of, you know, it's not necessarily about talent, but it's really about deliberate practice. And that's the concept that Colvin out of that book pushes the most is this idea of deliberate practice and just practicing in such a way that you modify. You try something, it doesn't work, so you modify. You try that again, it doesn't work, or you know it might work slightly different, but you just got to tweak it again. So it's modified, deliberate practice towards one thing, and so you learn, and so you're just kind of building this bank of stuff that you see people respond to, you see that people need, and so that you can start delivering that, you know, in an authentic way.
Well, I think that does it. I don't know about you. I'm getting a little teary-eyed here. This is the end of our 11-part series on the essential ingredients. It's been fun.
Yes, I agree there, Jared.
Thank you for listening to The Lead. If you enjoyed this episode and if you've been finding our other episodes useful, please consider giving the show a rating or a review on iTunes. And if you're not the iTunes type, you can tweet about the show or tell a friend. That obviously helps as well. And by the way, if you ever have a comment, a question, just some random thought that you're just dying to get out to somebody, feel free to send me a tweet at Jared Morris, J-E-R-O-D. You could probably send it to Damien too, Damien at Damien Farnworth. We love interacting with, learning from our listeners, so don't hesitate. Reach out to us, Twitter or anywhere else that you can find us out there online. All right, everybody, we will be back next week with another new episode. We'll talk to you soon.
So I wish I was a slave to an age-old trade. Lord, have mercy on my rough and rough.